Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 47. Genesis 47, beginning in verse 13, this is God's word. "There was no food, however, in the whole region because the famine was severe. Both Egypt and Canaan wasted away because of the famine. Joseph collected all the money that was to be found in Egypt and Canaan in payment for the grain they were buying, and he brought it to Pharaoh's palace. When the money of the people of Egypt and Canaan was gone, all Egypt came to Joseph and said, 'Give us food. Why should we die before your eyes? Our money is used up.' 'Then bring your livestock,' said Joseph. 'I will sell you food in exchange for your livestock, since your money is gone.' So they brought their livestock to Joseph, and he gave them food in exchange for their horses, their sheep, and goats, their cattle and donkeys, and he brought them through that year with food in exchange for all their livestock. When that year was over, they came to him the following year and said, 'We cannot hide from our Lord the fact that since our money is gone and our livestock belongs to you, there is nothing left for our Lord except our bodies and our land. Why should we perish before your eyes, we and our land as well? Buy us and our land in exchange for food, and we with our land will be in bondage to Pharaoh. Give us seed so that we may live and not die, and that the land may not become desolate.' So Joseph bought all the lands in Egypt for Pharaoh. The Egyptians, one and all, sold their fields because the famine was too severe for them. The land became Pharaoh's, and Joseph reduced the people to servitude from one end of Egypt to the other. However, he did not buy the land of the priests because they received a regular allotment from Pharaoh and had food enough from the allotment Pharaoh gave them. This is why they did not sell their land. Joseph said to the people, 'Now that I have bought you and your land today for Pharaoh, here is seed for you so that you can plant the ground. But when the crop comes in, give a fifth of it to Pharaoh. The other four-fifths you may keep as seed for the fields and as food for yourselves and your households and your children.' 'You have saved our lives,' they said. 'May we find favor in the eyes of our Lord. We will be in bondage to Pharaoh.' So Joseph established it as a law concerning land in Egypt, still in force today, that a fifth of the produce belongs to Pharaoh. It was only the land of the priests that did not become Pharaoh's. Now the Israelites settled in Egypt in the region of Goshen. They acquired property there and were fruitful and increased greatly in number. Jacob lived in Egypt 17 years, and the years of his life were 147. When the time drew near for Israel to die, he called for his son Joseph and said to him, 'If I have found favor in your eyes, put your hand under my thigh and promise that you will show me kindness and faithfulness. Do not bury me in Egypt, but when I rest with my fathers, carry me out of Egypt and bury me where they are buried.' 'I will do as you say,' he said. 'Swear to me,' he said. Then Joseph swore to him, and Israel worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Today's lesson is all about taxes. Well, God does speak to such things, and God actually speaks some lessons for us right here in this passage. You've got a guy who, for a number of years, had been a slave in Egypt. Now he rises to the position of being the Lord of Egypt. He is second only to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh lets Joseph make the decisions. And when this guy who had been a slave becomes the boss, he takes that opportunity not just to save lives, which he does effectively, and that is heartily commendable, but he also takes this opportunity to enslave the people to whom he had been a slave. Please don't miss that. You see, this desire to control others, to enslave others, to manipulate others, that comes from the heart of man, and it is not a good thing. Our problem, friends, is that we are by nature self-centered people. That's what comes naturally to us. That's the way we're born, and that's the way that our unregenerate heart stays. And it just manifests itself in different ways. When we get saved, when God gives us a new heart, we find ourselves in conflict internally. Because we have our old nature that wants to be selfish, and we have a new nature that says, no, you got to die to self. Yeah, you got to become a servant of others. You need to be like Jesus, who didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself and took on the form of a servant. He was obedient even unto death on a cross. I just find that hard sometimes. You too? It doesn't come naturally. It comes supernaturally, and it's a day by day by day walk. Dying to self, yielding to Christ. Now, with that as our framework, let's look at the specifics of what happened here again. There was no food in the whole region because the famine was severe. Both Egypt and Canaan wasted away because of the famine. And Joseph collected all the money that was to be found in Egypt and Canaan in payment for the grain they were buying. Joseph knew how long the famine was going to last. But he didn't try and help the people make their money last. He charged what the market would bear. Now, that's capitalism. And I happen to think that of the various economic systems out there, capitalism has proved to be the one that creates the best situation for the largest number of people. So don't hear this as an attack on capitalism, but understand it as a picture of how capitalism can be abused by people who are selfish and willing to use their position to exploit others. Joseph knew how long the famine was going to last, and he didn't say to the people, hey guys, listen, we need to make your money last, because otherwise you're going to run out. He collected all the money that was to be had from everybody except the priests, and that wasn't a clergy exemption because of religious reasons. It's because the priests were already, it was a state church, they were already being paid by Pharaoh. And so they didn't have to sell out because they were getting their money from the government. They were getting their seed from the government. And so they had enough and they didn't get in a bind. So when the money was gone, verse 15, all Egypt came to Joseph and said, "Give us food. Why should we die before your eyes? Our money is used up." "Then bring your livestock," Joseph said. What a prince, okay? Why would the Egyptians go along with it? Because they were hungry. How does a government manipulate its citizens into surrendering their property and their rights and their freedom? How does a government do that? By exploiting a situation where people are afraid they're going to die. Anybody remember COVID? I know people who died from COVID. I'm not saying it was an imaginary problem. What I'm saying is governments around the world welcomed the opportunity to use that problem in order to exploit people and centralize power. Where does that come from? It comes from the human heart. The people in government are not transformed into saints when they get elected. They don't suddenly become beneficent people who are unselfishly looking just for the benefit of their fellow citizens. When you become part of the power establishment, you want to make the most of it. If you're a human. And it plays itself out not just in government, but in elementary schools when kids are picking who's going to be on their team. I hated that. You must not have been a great athlete. I wasn't. Whether your position is Lord of Egypt or team captain, there is a human tendency to lord it over others. It's human nature. Joseph was a slave. He gets promoted to being the boss. And now he enslaves the people of the country where he had been a slave. Payback time, baby. Not good. How many movies are about revenge? And people watch those movies with glee because they want to see that bad guy get theirs. And so in order to set it up, we got to show the bad guy doing a bunch of heinous stuff that we really shouldn't be filling our minds with. But we do because that's going to justify the hatred we feel for that villain and the wonderful joy we feel when the villain is wiped out, preferably in a long and painful way. I mean, isn't that sad? Why is that? Well, because we want to identify not just with the victim, but with the person who makes things right. The one who comes in and says, "I'm going to fix this." And he stands up to the evil and he destroys the enemy. In real life, however, it turns out that it's not quite that simple. Because that is a very bad person. But the person who is in real life the victim is also a sinner who deserves hell. And the person who comes in as the hero to get revenge on the evildoer is, at best, a flawed individual. We can't get enough of those stories. Not because they're so satisfying, because no amount of revenge flicks will satisfy the desire we have down inside. Let me remind you of a different story where everybody in the town was bad. Some worse than others, but everybody in the town deserved to die. And the villain, really horrible. I mean, more despicable than you can imagine. But in this story, the hero is not flawed. He is perfect. And in fact, he's not only sinless, he is all-knowing and almighty. And he comes to town and he destroys the enemy. Woohoo! And he saves the flawed people. All right. But he does it by dying, by offering up his life as the sacrifice for our sins. And the last enemy is death itself. Satan and all the demons, he triumphed over them by the cross. And then, having been buried in the tomb, he conquered death. Death couldn't hold him. And that's why we don't have to be afraid to die. And friends, when you're not afraid to die, the government can charge you taxes, and you can pay them without anxiety or bitterness. But you're not going to be manipulated by the fear of death.
If you don't do this, you're going to die.
I can live with that.
We're all going to die.
But that's not the end. Some people are going to die and face the judgment and be cast into hell forever. Some people are going to die and find that Jesus already took their punishment just as he promised. And therefore, they enjoy his riches in glory forever. Now that's a story that satisfies.
Folks, there's an easy way that you can help future generations of children in crisis. When you include Ware's Valley Ranch in your will or as a beneficiary, your gift doesn't cost you anything today. Your gift is free of federal and estate tax. You're not obligated and can change your mind. You can still take care of your family by including them too. And you can leave a legacy. If you believe the Lord is leading you to do this, please be obedient to him. And then let us know of your plans by going to wvr.org and clicking on the Legacy 145 button. You'll be part of a group of brothers and sisters who are participating in Psalm 145:4, sharing God's mighty acts with future generations.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Joseph, after the people had enslaved themselves, after they had sold their land and their bodies, so that now they truly had nothing, and Joseph knew there was still more famine. He says, okay. Now that I've bought you and your land today for Pharaoh, verse 23, here is seed so that you can plant the ground. But when the crop comes in, you give the fifth of it to Pharaoh. And from then on, in Egypt, there was a 20% tax. 20% flat tax. Some of us think that would not be a bad deal. And how did the people respond? They said, "You cursed Jew. What a horrible thing." No, they didn't say that. And people who do talk like that are wicked. What they said, however, shows again the human condition. Verse 25, "You saved our lives." They were so grateful. "You have saved our lives. May we find favor in the eyes of our Lord," meaning Joseph. "We will be in bondage to Pharaoh." Happy to do it. If you tell me what to do and then I do it and I get to live, oh boy, I'm so grateful. That's good government. Well, it's not the best. It's not anything like what Jesus came to bring. Jesus said, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly." He gave his life in order to redeem ours. That's who you want to thank. That's who you want to thank. "You have saved our lives. May we find favor in the eyes of our Lord. We will be your servants forever." May God grant it. So Joseph established that law that a fifth of the produce belongs to Pharaoh. Everybody fell into that category except the priests. And the Israelites had settled in the region of Goshen. They acquired property there and were fruitful and increased greatly in number. Jacob lived in Egypt 17 years. Remember, he was 130 when he got there. He dies at 147. He lived in Egypt 17 years. The years of his life were 147. When the time drew near for him to die, he called for his son Joseph and said to him, "If I have found favor in your eyes, put your hand under my thigh and promise that you will show me kindness and faithfulness. Do not bury me in Egypt. But when I rest with my fathers, carry me out of Egypt and bury me where they are buried." Why? Because Jacob knew that's the promised land. That's what God said he would do for my family. And I want my body to be there. Well, what does it matter once you're dead? Because there's a resurrection coming. This life is not all there is. There is a resurrection. That is the hope that runs with increasing clarity all through the scriptures. And Jesus tells us, don't think this is all there is. The one who believes in me, even if he dies, he's going to live. I want you to understand that if you are thinking about, boy, you only go around once, better grab all the gusto you can get, you have completely miscalculated. What we do here and now does have an impact on eternity. There will be rewards in glory for those who day by day yield their lives to him and do what he says. There will be rewards. He promises. So Jacob, not understanding all of that, still knows that he wants his remains to be taken back to where his father's remains are, where his grandfather's remains are. That's where he wants to be buried. Because the destiny of the Jewish people is not in Egypt. It is in the land that God has promised. And God is still keeping his promises today.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.